Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Easter Show. Oh, make sure that you tune into the show 5 days a week right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Midday till 2 p.m. from Tuesday through Saturday here in New Zealand. And those may have noticed that I didn't do a Saturday show this weekend because I was out at the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement protest, which is essentially the setup via trade deals of the new corporate governance and of the South Asian Pacific Union, which will eventually be amalgamated into the New World Order. My very special guest is Douglas Dietrich, and also wanted to just mention about that TPPA protest, mate. I got given this new, I think I might even have a visual display here for you. I got a new camera, a little GoPro, little digital camera thingy, which is on the end of a shoulder mount. And have you ever seen those Red Bull extreme sports sort of things where they've got those little cameras mounted on them with the wingsuits and what have you, you know? It was like that shooting me, except on a protest. It was like extreme adventure protesting, and it looked like so that. Cool. I was looking at the video going, man, this is cool. And it occurred to me, you know what? I might just be the coolest protester who ever lived.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And you can turn protesting into an adventure sport. And we can start making champions like yourself, whoever can get the most bang out of the protest.
What I'll do is I'll throw a kayak at a police officer or something like that, you know?
Right.
Or hang glider over the protest, you know?
Right. Right. No, that'd be cool. That would be, we'll take protesting to whole new levels. I mean, right now, of course, protesting is full of poor people and people who are essentially homeless. We could change all that and get the rich involved by turning it into something exciting for them. That's, I'm afraid of which direction that'll go in, though. If it becomes cool to protest, before you know it, only the rich will be able to afford it.
Yeah, well, you know, that was something that occurred to me as well. I was thinking about asking the crowd a question. How many people at this protest own or used to own a successful business?
There's like
two hands that have gone up. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Is that because most of the people who are running successful businesses don't really have time to protest because they're too busy making money? Ain't most of the people who are working out their 40-hour weeks or plus everything, the reason why they ain't coming to protest is because they're too tired and they've got to continue on with their slave job. Have you noticed? Work is baggage. You know what I'm saying? It's like guilt or hate. It weighs you down and you receive little benefits from it, yet you think it's what's keeping you alive.
Yeah. It's a good way of putting it, and you know, if we could just get over this food addiction and stop, eating, period, and live off of oxygen, yeah, maybe we'd be free of that work burden that really just weighs us all down. But I hear you. By the way, my thought before we went to break that I did want to complete, because I'll have to talk a bit about my website and the holiday deal on the DVD soon because of our need to make through the holidays, speaking of work, was that in 1871 was the year that 700 United States Marines and Naval Infantry sailors basically forced trade protectorate status on the Kingdom of Korea by invading the Royal Palace and taking the Korean royal family hostage. And and then in 1898, the Americans invaded the Philippines. And to put this to some perspective for the Americans of today, this wasn't just like the Vietnam War, which was awful enough. This was far worse than most people can imagine, even in this post-Vietnam War era. Basically, the Argonaut, which was a paper which circulated, or a magazine which circulated throughout the United States at the time, stated magazine. They were quite honest. There was very little hypocrisy in those days about how Americans felt about other peoples of the world. They said, we do not want the Filipinos. We want the Philippines. All of our troubles with our present annexation manner have been caused by the presence in the Philippines of the Filipinos. Were it not for them, the Treaty of Paris would have been an excellent thing. That's where America, of course, picked up the Philippines, 7,100 islands after defeating the Spanish Empire in one day. The Argonaut went on to continue that the purchase of the archipelago for $20 million would have been cheap. The islands are enormously rich. They abound in dense forests and valuable hardwood timber. They contain mines of precious metals. Their fertile lands will produce immense crops of sugar, rice, and tobacco. Touched by the magic wand of American enterprise and fertilized with American capital, these islands will speedily become rich. But unfortunately, they're infested with Filipinos. And there are millions of them there, and it is feared that their extinction will be slow. Still, every man who believes in developing the islands must admit that it cannot be done successfully while the Filipinos are there. They are indolent. They raise only enough food to live on. They don't care about making money, and they occupy the land, which might better be utilized by the white American. Therefore, the more of them that are killed, the better. It seems harsh, but they must yield before the superior race. And the American Syndicate, what an incredibly apropos name. And how short-sighted, then, to check the army and its war of extermination against these subhuman savages. Well, a report from the U.S. Army near Manila on February 5th of 1899 reads, in the path of the Washington Regiment and Battery D of the 6th Artillery, there were 1,008 dead niggers and a great many more wounded. We burned all their houses. I don't know how many men, women, and children those Tennessee boys did kill, but they wouldn't take any prisoners. You know, and it just went on and on. We're talking about, when I'm talking about millions of people dying, obviously, I am not exaggerating. And in this milieu, the Japanese, of course, reported back to their relatives in Japan exactly what the Americans were doing. Now, think of how the Americans would feel if here in North America, the Japanese had invaded Canada, installed a puppet regime with a Japanese dictator in charge of Canada, and then proceeded to invade Mexico and slaughter millions of Mexicans. How would the Americans feel if this were going on at any period of time? If they had any vestige of responsible national identity, they would prepare for war, which is exactly what the Japanese were forced to do in this matrix of American aggression. And this is why I am just appalled at the American perspective of Pearl Harbor as a surprise attack. I've gone into the operational matrix of it before on other programs. I've gone into the immediate economic machinations which led to the strike, the deprivation of oil or petroleum supplies to Japan. Those are all more immediate, but it's obvious that America surrounding Japan with the invasions of sovereign Asian nations, the way that it did, had to lead to some kind of response, or the Japanese would have been criminally negligent. There's no other word for it. So in that sense, I hope that puts it into some perspective. Now, what's the difference between that and 9/11? When you take a look at the Kingdom of Hawaii, Hawaii was an occupied sovereign kingdom. The Kingdom of Hawaii was ruled by Queen Liliuokalani, and Queen Liliuokalani was forced to abdicate her throne when the American corporations led by the Dole dynasty of Dole Pineapple fame, from whence the Scion, Senator Robert Dole, emerged from, who later ran for president. Dole got its money by taking over Hawaii. They lobbied the U.S. government to invade. They set up all of the sugarcane plantations. United States Marines took the Queen of Hawaii and brought her basically as a prisoner of war to Washington, D.C., where she begged for the liberation of her people, and they instead forced her to abdicate her throne, and she had ascended to that throne in 1891. She was forced to abdicate it in 1898, around the same time as the invasion of the Philippines, or around that time, and she died in 1917. She spent a good deal of her life under house arrest, surrounded by American Marine Corps guards. And she had many Japanese house servants, many Japanese affiliates. One of them was Curtis Yaukea, and his name was spelled I-A-U-K-E-A. And Curtis Yaukea was her managing trustee and treasurer of her estate. And he was the acting governor in 1920 of the Hawaiian Islands during the Oahu sugar plantation strike. And he was able to deliver from her a request to the imperial dynasty of the House of Japan, the House of Yamato, that her nation be liberated from American occupation. Now, there goes an aspect of Hawaiian history that most people today are totally unfamiliar with. And when the Japanese attacked, Hawaii was just that, an occupied kingdom. It was not a state of the United States. They were not attacking U.S. territory. They were attacking a U.S. military base in a foreign nation. And Americans today remember that as if they were attacking the U.S. itself. But 9/11, on the other hand, takes place on U.S. soil, and the Americans respond with pretty much a whimper. And why? Because I think at this point, this is the part that puzzles me. Most Americans still find it somewhat hard to believe how far the American government went in the attack on Pearl Harbor to provoke it, and yet most Americans, I think, in general, know that 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, I'd like to mention that you have DVDs for sale at DouglasDietrich.com, double DVD sets and all of that.
Yeah, for the holiday season. Two for the price of one. Please go over there and check it out, and we can get some support from you through this holiday season. Again, DouglasDietrich.com.
Yep, and even Freighter X, I believe, bought a double DVD from you, and he wanted to get you on his show. All right, well, that's the Vinnie Eastwood Show for today, ladies and gentlemen. And bear in mind, I'm also having my own Christmas financial crisis. So if you can please donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and click on the donate button there. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.